blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 154, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O God, be merciful to me. My soul for refuge comes to thee. Beneath thy wings I safe will stay until these troubles pass away. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 154.
Thank you. invitation. Congregation, we ask your attention for the book of Ephesians, thereof chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
We hope to remember in prayer our newborn granddaughter, who is in stable but very serious condition. after her heart surgery. Also, Mr. Andy Slingerland, who may return from the hospital after his surgery this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty God of heaven, who art in the heavens, and who reigneth over all things happening in the way of thy providence, according to thy most holy will, O we beseech thee, for that little child whose life seems to be hanging in the balance. O Lord, man can do so much, but we do not know what can go wrong. And thou alone art able to help in all these circumstances. O Lord, together we beseech thee for that helpless child who is not able to beseech thee for herself. O Lord, that thou mayst spare her life, who has been given but a few days. Oh, could it be that thou may extend it yet and give that health and that strength unto her. And O Lord, if it pleases thee to do otherwise, oh, could it be that thou wouldst take her unto thyself, because then it matters not how long we live in this world, if it is but a few days, if it is but a little while in the womb, or if we may be a recipient of that grace of God, and then it is well for us and for that great eternity. Strengthen our children beyond their right and on their left in this very difficult way. And wilt thou instruct them also in all these things, or that we all may be instructed, Lord, because those callings unto the youth, unto the children, unto parents, they are all coming unto us, and they are not staying anymore. O Lord, could it please thee to awaken us from our slumber, from our deep sleep in death, in sin and in trespasses, and turn us back, O Lord, to thee from whom we have come. O Lord, that thou who livest and who reignest may also live and reign in our hearts. Look upon him, and that may come home from the hospital, and thou hast made everything with him so very well for his body. Oh, we may acknowledge thee, and he also, for thou knowest the fears that lived within him. O Lord, could it please thee to strengthen him further, and to bless these means, and to teach him and us all together. Oh, could it be also in this evening hour, and when we are gathered in a special service, when we may meditate, when we may consider, when we may preach thy holy word concerning the exaltation to the right hand of the Father of thy dear and thy only begotten Son. O thou hast given him even unto death, that awful death of the cross, in order that he may bring back with him his church. Oh, he has come here below, and that he may gather a people to take with him above. Oh, could it be in our hearts in this evening hour, a cry and may go forth unto him who sits on the right hand of power and who has the power to speak one word and our hearts shall be healed. Oh, that thou mayst speak then, Lord, in this night through the preaching of thy holy word. And give us that strength, give us that wisdom, and give us that fear of thy name, give us a little gift. Oh, could it be to speak in thy name, and may it be the power of God to speak through us, even if we don't know it, for this one, for that one. Oh, could it be, Lord, for each and every one of us, because the time is short. Oh, the world does mock with thee and with thy power, but they will not mock anymore when thou comest again to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, we also, with all our religion, do set thee so aside in favor of attention for all that is in the world. Oh, we have so little thought of thee, so little care for thee, and for thy commandments, and thy will, thy good pleasure. Oh, we live so for ourselves, Lord, turn us, draw us, seek us out, even as sheep who are lost, and wilt thou bring us again into thy fold. And when thou dost watch over thy church, as he that is watching over this whole world, for the good of thy church, O give them also to know how that they are to walk here in this world, and in the midst of thy people, that it may be with a true heart, that it may be in love and truth to one another, especially as we travel together to that great judgment seat. O Lord, look upon all the afflicted, all the sick, all those that have serious diseases and those that receive treatments. O wilt thou bless the means, and oh, that thou may visit them also with a token of thy favor and thy communion, in the fears that live in their hearts from day to day, and in looking forward, and in fearing to go out of this world. O Lord, provide then what is necessary, and both to live in comfort and to die in peace. Care for all our children, and all our parents, and all those that have special needs and cares. Look upon us in this evening. Wilt thou be on our right and on our left? Oh, that thou wouldst be in the midst of us as one who speaketh with power, and that thou wouldst show that thou art still gathering thy church from the right hand of thy Father, interceding and taking away all the iniquity which needs to be taken away from us, and that we also may enter into that blessed place to enjoy thy communion and favor, and that of thy Father to a great and never-ending eternity. O Lord, be then with us in this night. Forgive and take away our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 129, stanzas 1 through 5. Rejoice, ye people, homage give to God, with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great the universal king, 1 through 5 of Psalter 129. Beloved congregation, David has written, my friends and my lovers stand aloof from my sore. They stand aloof, that is, they stand far away, they stand at a distance, they stand apart. That is one thing to say that of the world, of those that you do not know and who have no concern for you. But it is another thing to say this of your friends and your lovers, and that they stand aloof from your sore. David speaks on behalf of the true church. There is not a natural man in the whole world that is able to enter in unto the sore that is living in the heart of the true church. David says, I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetops. That he says he feels that he is actually all by himself, because there was no one that was able to enter in unto his sore. And why not? Because it is so personal. Because it is a matter, our religion that is between us and God. When we have to die, then everyone that was perhaps standing around us, our loved ones, they cannot go with us. And maybe those that have upheld our religion for us, they're gone. And then we have to stand there all by ourselves. My friends and my lovers stand aloof from my sore. Do you have a sore? Do you have a sore in your heart? A sore that no man knoweth, that makes you to feel as sometimes just like a sparrow that is upon the housetops. Maybe you even say sometimes, where is the Lord? You ever say that? Where is the Lord? What did Job say when his friends and his lovers stood aloof from his sore? Oh, then he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He did not know where to find him. But oh, that he could find him in that day, that he had not a friend, that he had not a lover in the whole world. How far away that the Lord can seem to be, even to that true church of God, in the feelings of their soul, in the distress of their soul, and when they have no solution for the case of their soul. That is how Jacob felt himself to be when he became a fugitive and when he had to flee. That night when he had to lay down his head upon that stone, and then he thought and that there was no one near, and then he dreamed. He dreamed a dream, and behold, he saw a ladder that went from the earth to the heaven, and the Lord stood above it, and we read the angels of God ascended and descended upon it. And there the Lord spoke to him. And when Jacob woke up in the morning, you remember what he said, children? He said, surely the Lord is in this place. and I knew it not. Ah, that is now the experience by times of that true church of God. May it be of each one of us in this evening, and when we wish to consider in a special way the ascension of the Lord, we wish to consider the word of God, which can be found in the portion read, Ephesians 4, and thereof the 9th and the 10th verses. Ephesians 4, verses 9 and 10. Now he that ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. So far the words of our text. The ascension of victory is our theme. First, the person who ascended. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens. That is the person who ascended. Second, the purpose of his ascension, that he might fill all things. The ascension of victory. First, the person who ascended. Second, the purpose of his ascension. And then if you look in the Bible, you will see that our text is in parentheses. Why? Well, it is somewhat of an explanation of that which is going before. What do we read? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Wherefore he saith. So who is that? He saith. Well, Paul is quoting quoting David in Psalm 68. So who saith then, children? Well, you say that is then David. Yes, of course, but that is then also the Lord, isn't it? Because David has spoken by inspiration. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And now Paul quotes that Hebrew text in context of the letter that he is writing here to the Ephesians, and he is encouraging this congregation of the Ephesians. We can read here unto lowliness, to meekness, and to long suffering. And then he speaks about gifts. He says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So what does he say? There is a certain measure. And Christ is giving these gifts, but he does not give everyone the same gift. There are some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and teachers and so on. So there are varied kinds of gifts, but he says then there is also a varied measure of gifts. And so he will say, we cannot do without one another. He says we all need one another, because altogether, he says, there is one body. Thus, that body, hands and feet and fingers and head, they all must work in unity one with another. And that body, he says, is the body of Christ, who is the head of his church. Thus he speaks about the head of the body and the body itself, which is the church. Thus we ask, why did the Apostle Paul quote David? Well, he is speaking about these gifts. And then he will explain a little bit where that these gifts are coming from. Then he says to the Ephesians, they are not just from yourselves, that you can just do anything with them as you like, but they are gifts that come from God. David had said, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. And in that psalm, Psalm 68, what is David speaking about? Well, he is speaking about God and how that God is helping his people who are in distress. So those who are not able to help themselves, the poor of his church, and the devil is always busy to come against that true church. And he says in that psalm how that God comes down, as it were, from heaven. So he speaks about how that God is helping those helpless. Thou hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Thus those who are helpless in themselves. Thou didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thus a weary inheritance, a poor people, and the Lord coming to deliver them. That is what Psalm 68 is all about. He says, let God arise, and let the enemies, his enemies, be scattered, and let them also that hate him flee before him. Thus he is speaking about God arising. So that means he speaks, children, as if God would be a person like to us. God is not like to us. God never sleeps. God never lays down, as it were. But that is language that is fit for our ignorance, that we might know something of him. So it speaks about God arising, as it were, out of his sleep. And now it speaks about God having the victory, that when God is coming to deliver his people and when he is going to fight against the enemies of his people, and then God is receiving the victory against the enemies of his people. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Thus David in Psalm 68 is picturing God himself as the victor. When his people are not able to help themselves, and when the Lord comes to them, and then he pictures God as receiving that victory, ascending on high and leading the captive, the enemies, and from their enemies, dividing the spoil. So giving gifts, it speaks about receiving gifts from men. That is Psalm 68. David speaks about receiving gifts, receiving gifts for men. And then the Apostle Paul, he speaks about giving these gifts to men. And so some say, well, why is there that difference? To give something and to receive something is very different, is it not? Well, no, not in such circumstances, because then we need to understand the context, what is happening when the soldiers are coming away from the battle, and then they are gathering the spoil of their enemies. And what do they do with that spoil? Then they distribute it once they come at home. So those also And we can read, as David says, that tarried by the stuff. Well, and they were watching over. They didn't receive those spoils. They also get their portion. And so the spoils of that army, they are received by the victor. And that victor is giving them out. He is distributing these gifts. And thus the Apostle Paul now, he speaks about this psalm. That Psalm 68 of David. God helping those who have enemies, cannot fight for themselves, receiving the victory and receiving these gifts. And now Paul says, Church of God, here is where all your gifts are coming from. He says they are actually spoils. They are spoils of a war. They are the spoils of victory. And that is a victory that is received of God himself. That is why he is speaking about Psalm 68. That is speaking about the victories of God. And now who is this person who has ascended on high as a victor over all his enemies for the sake of his church? That is now the question that Paul is addressing. Who is this person? Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Who is he? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Well, we know that God is said in the Bible to descend and also to ascend, to descend to the earth and to ascend into heaven. That is, congregation, been the experience of God's church through all the ages of the world, even from the beginning of time. And that is now what David sang about. When he has experienced in his helplessness himself in a personal way, when he had enemies and he had no power against those enemies. And David is singing about this and he says, God came down from heaven and God has watched over and God has exerted his power and God has given me the victory over my enemies. You can read Habakkuk. How he also sang, he says, God came down from Teman, he says, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. God himself in the need of his church came down. Psalm 113, we read, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high and who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and that are in the earth. That is God. God is said in his word to come down. Moses explains to us what happened when God has delivered his people out of that land of Egypt. And then he says God came down, as it were. God has looked through those clouds. God was here. God has taken off the chariot wheels of the enemies so that they have drowned in that sea. So very often, Old Testament, we read of God coming down. And now the Apostle Paul, he says when David in Psalm 68 is singing, he is singing about God coming down. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. He is singing about God going up again as the victor after that he has destroyed all the enemies of his people. He says when David is singing about this, then it must be that the most eminent of all those descendings and of all those ascendings, the most illustrious one, the greatest descending and the greatest ascending that is also spoken of, that he says is the descending and the ascending of the very Son of God himself. Thus he says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? What does Christ say? He himself says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, and but he who has come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Thus he says, the Son of Man has come down. And if that Son of Man has come down, that means that that Son of Man did not begin to exist when he was born. Because he has come down, that means that he has existed before that he was in this world, that he has changed the place where he was, that he has existed already from eternity, but he has come down from heaven. He has descended. And this descension, the apostle says, is into the lower parts of the earth. So what does that mean? You say maybe then he's speaking about hell, because you know that the Lutherans have said that he has actually descended into hell, because there he had to gather his church from that porch of hell, from that limbus patrum. But that is not so. No, when he says that he has come down, that he has descended into the lower parts of the earth, then it is speaking about his great humiliation. That is speaking about the fact that he has come into trial, that he has come into tribulation, that he has come into suffering in this world. And indeed, the greatness of his sufferings, that is to suffer the very torments of hell, that is in his soul, that is in his body, and then finally, even to suffer death itself, and that his body would descend even into the grave. Thus, he says, into the lower parts of the earth. And then we read that he ascended, that he went up. Thus Paul says he went up as the victor. He went up as the victor in the sight of his disciples. And then he gave unto his church gifts. Well, what is he saying? Well, he is speaking about him ascending, just like God has ascended, like David spoke of him as the victor of a warfare, of a battle that he has fought. And these gifts that he is giving out, they are the spoils of this warfare. But now the apostle says there is no ascending up into heaven, unless, he says, there is first something else. He says, first, there must be a descending. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? When the Son of Man descended, what did he descend into? Well, congregation, he descended into a battle. You know, boys and girls, how that was with the Philistines and the Israelites. Then there was a valley between them, right? And Goliath is on the one side and Israel is on the other side. And there David descends. He goes down. He goes down into that valley for a reason. What is he going to do there? He is going to fight when he goes down. That is now the reason also and the way that Christ has descended from the place where he was. Then he has descended for the sake of that church into battle. Paul says David sang about God's descensions and ascensions. And Paul says, we sing now about the ultimate descension and ascension of God himself. Oh, never in the whole world was there a battle like the battle that he fought when he descended. Because he has had to fight with the hellish, the fiendish serpent. He has had to fight with the power of the devil himself. All hell was released against that Son of God. When he has come upon this world, oh, Satan had every intention, every desire, and with all his power, be it in a spiritual way, but also in a natural way, and that he would destroy that Son of God. Oh, never was a battle fought as that battle, and never. Never in the whole world was there a victory, and that was achieved as this victory of the Son of God. It is a victory over sin. It is a victory over death. It is a victory over hell. So that church is rejoicing in saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? O, may we ever so in our soul be able to look over that awful death that is coming in our life. We are not so close to it, you say. Oh, we are not so close. We don't know it. We don't know it. We have said it so recently. We are all lined up. But what is now the order? Oh, it could be just that newborn child, congregation. Just a few days. Or it could be one that has lived 60 or 70 years. That is all in the Lord's providence. But it also could be us, children, boys and girls. And now to be able to say this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Ah, that is for the church of God. It is a gift. It is a victory that has been received by that Son of God in the battle that he has fought against death and hell itself. Oh, never was there a spoil. Never were there gifts that were received that were so great as the gifts that were received and to be distributed by this man. Oh, never did a victor of any battle have such a great train that would follow him, a train of freed captives. Oh, he has released them from their bondage in the land of the enemy, and he has brought them after, so they are now going, they are now following him, because he has destroyed the captor which has kept them in that bondage, which has kept them in that death. And there has never been in the whole world a victory, a victor that has received such an inheritance, such a train of human captives as the Lord Jesus Christ, when he did ascend from this earth in his glorious victory. And now it is this victor and that is set to receive honor and glory and all the praise forever and forever of that people who have been delivered from that which they are not able to deliver themselves. Oh, how is it that the Lord is going to make them to magnify and to glorify this Savior. Do you glorify Him in your heart? Or is there anything in your heart that loves Him? You say, I heard about Him maybe all the days of my life. But you know what the bride says, children? The bride says, He is white. Oh, He is comely. Ah, she sees in Him beauty. Did you ever see in Him beauty? Never saw beauty in Him? Then you will never praise Him. Then you will never glorify Him. That is what now has to happen. So something has to happen in our life. And we can sing with our natural understanding of the ascension of this glorious victor. But what do we know of this now? And what is the affection that is living in our heart for Him? Oh, let us sing for a moment. Psalter 182, stanzas 3, 6, and 7. Thou wilt rebuke the fierce and strong, who hate the right and choose the wrong, and scatter those who peace abhor, the nations that delight in war. Stanzas 3, 6, and 7 of 182. Thank you. The ascension of victory, first the person who ascended, second the purpose of his ascension. We read that he might fill all things. In the ascension of Christ, there was a parting. We read he was parted from them and received up into heavens, into heaven. Peter says that the heavens must receive him until the time of the restitution of all things. So what time is that? That is the time when he is going to come and restore this whole world to himself. That is going to be the time when he stands upon the judgment seat to call all men before him to give an account, that is both the quick and the dead. Thus there was a parting. And still, immediately before the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So that seems to us like something that is contradictory. But Paul now explains it. He says he ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So that is now the very purpose of his ascending. Now he is going to be, the Apostle Paul says, not just in one place, as it were, but that he is going to fill everything. He is going to be everywhere. So to fill, that can mean literally what we think of to fill, but it can also mean to fulfill all things, that is to finish all things, to bring all things to a perfection. And here it includes all of them, of course, but especially that first one, to fill all things. So God is said, children, to fill all things. There is no place in this whole world where God is not. And there is only one that is so expensive as God to fill all things. Thus, the Apostle Paul, when he says that he might fill all things, makes a declaration that this man is God. Then he makes a declaration of his divinity. His presence fills all things. Not his flesh and blood, not his body, not his human body, but as our fathers say, with his majesty, Godhead, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from his church. What does that mean? Well, that means that the reins, that is the reins of government, have now for the first time in the history of the existence of the world been given into the hands of a human being. That was never before. But they are now in the hands of a human being. Thus this divine human person that is the head, we read, of the church of God. And that church of God is set forth in God's word as his body. That is his body on the earth. Thus, the head is in heaven and his body is on the earth. Now, what does the Apostle Paul say about a body? A man, he says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. You do not hate your own flesh. You do not hurt yourself, children, do you? No, he says, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ his church, because that is his body that is here upon this world. And thus there is no nation, no people in the whole world who are so safe as the church of God, because they are the body of Christ himself, that he might fill all things. There is no place where he is not. And then he has the interest of that body in him, because it is his own body. Thus, the whole kingdom now is placed into his hands to direct the whole world for the good of his body, and that that body may now also ascend after him, thus directing from heaven, where all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth, and able to control everything. That is now who is sitting at the right hand of God. All power given to him to take care of his body, to take care of his brethren that are in the flesh, those whom he has bought, to take care of his inheritance that his Father has given unto him, and he is filling. So there is no place in this whole earth where he is not, and where he is not able to watch over those who are persecuted. They are not alone. They are the elect for the Father's sake, and they are the body of Christ. And no one can touch them without touching the apple of his eye. To this end, he has given gifts for men, the spoils of that victory, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thus Christ has ascended, but behind him, who is now behind him? Because there is a great train of human beings that are behind him whom he has delivered from their captivity. Paul says, when he ascended, he led captivity captive. And now he goes before them. He goes before them as the victor, as the champion in the war, having descended just for that purpose, that he may rescue that people from a power that they did not have power of. That was too great for them. That overcame them. That brought them into bondage. Ah, what is that, young people? What is that power now? These people, they are going to magnify him. Or they are going to exalt him. Beginning here a little bit, and later in perfection. They are going to exalt him as their savior, as their deliverer, as the victor in a battle which they could not win. That is now what Paul was doing. He took the exaltings of David in Psalm 68, when David exalted the Lord for the victories that he had given him over his enemies that he could not conquer. And he made application of this even unto Christ himself. And he exalts him in his heart. And now it is this. It is this exaltation that we need to come to learn in our heart. Outside of that, what good is the ascension for us? Say that is for God's people. But congregation, it must be for us. Now how? How is a man made to magnify him even as Paul magnified him? Well, do you know what Paul writes to Timothy? It says, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Thus, the church that is going to ascend with him also must first descend with him. If we be dead with him, say, why do we need now to descend with him? Did he not descend for his church? Oh, yes, he did. We need not to descend in order to merit anything. We need not to descend in order that we may now conquer that enemy in that warfare. No, that was already done. But we now need to descend in order to prepare our heart to magnify him as the victor in that warfare for those who are not able to accomplish that warfare. That is, congregation, the only way. What did David say? He says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. David had to descend there. There David could only sink. He says it was miry clay. He says that is a place that I was sinking and sinking and sinking, and it is a place that I would only perish because I had no ability to deliver myself. That is now what a man has to experience. Descending himself first into that battle. Why? Because we don't need just a notion in our mind what that battle is. But we need to be brought in that battle. That needs to come as a hand-to-hand combat. We need to be ourselves before that enemy, that we may know ourselves how strong that enemy is and how weak we are. Are you in that warfare? Do you learn something about how weak you are? Do you learn something about how strong that enemy is? Young people, are you in that warfare? What does the apostle say? Striving against sin. You do that? Will you try that? Will you try it once? And find out how strong sin is? Oh, that sin may become your enemy. that sin may be a disappointment in your heart, that you may hate it, that you may flee from it, and that you may find out that you need a Savior. Oh, in that hand-to-hand combat, that's where we need to die. I mean, we need to die to ourself. We need to die to our ability. We need to die to our wisdom. We need to die to our strength. And we need to find out that we are a captive. That we are captive to sin. And that we are not able to deliver ourselves from it. Ah, that is now the battle that we need to descend into if ever we will ascend after the victor. Oh, does your way, congregation, only descend? Does it descend in providence? Does it descend in your soul? Oh, David had so many enemies. They were all around him. Oh, he said, Lord, look at my enemies, consider my enemies. Didn't stop there. He said, and forgive me. And forgive me. It was on the outside. It was on the inside. Oh, there are people, they cannot fix it. They cannot make it right. They lie down in their shame, confusion, the Bible says, that is covering their faces. Paul had to experience that. Religious man. But with all that religion, then the Apostle Paul had to descend. And then he descended, we would say, into the mire of his self-righteousness. A mire. A miry pit. And then he lay there for 3 days. For 3 days. And then the Lord came. And then he ascended, congregation, out of that pit. How could he climb out? He couldn't climb out. Oh, no, he ascended out of that pit after the victor, after him who had destroyed, who had bruised the head of the devil. And so the apostle may receive that victory. That is now the only way, the only way. Do you believe that? Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, that he might fill all things with his presence, going about to deliver those who cry out in their bondage. Oh, what did God say to Jacob? He said, fear not. To go down into Egypt, fear not. To go down into Egypt, he says, for I will certainly bring thee up again. Oh, congregation, that is the way. That is the way of the church. Are you afraid? I've spoken sometimes to people, and they say, I hear what has to happen. And I'm actually afraid. I'm afraid to go in that way. You don't need to be afraid to go in that way. And why don't you need to be afraid of that way? The Lord said to Jacob, he says, I will go with thee. And that is the way it is. Oh, it is true that we need to descend. But when the Lord brings us down, oh, then the Lord goes with us into that pit. Now that bondage, that slavery, that can be long, that can congregation be so disheartening? Not usually in the beginning, but it becomes so. Becomes so. And why? Well, it has to become so in order that that people may ascend after him. We think about that people who have cried out in their bondage. Jacob's children, fear not to go down into Egypt. Oh, and you say, is the Lord with me? That people under the whip of Pharaoh, is the Lord with us? Oh, the Lord was with them. Are you under that whip? Are you under that whip? Maybe you say, where is the Lord? Where is he? Because it seems like the enemy, he just has the preeminence. And I'm afraid that here I'm going to die. And I'm going to die in my sin and never be delivered out of it. Oh, congregation, that people, how they sang when the Lord brought them out of that land, after they had cried unto him in their distress. And then the Lord made that way open. And then that people sang. When they saw all their enemies, they were dead upon the seashore. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. That was the song of deliverance of that church. Had they strength against that enemy? None. Nothing. They feared to be overcome by it, but they cried unto the Lord. They had to descend, congregation, into that pit, but they ascended again on the other side of that sea. Then they came up out of it. That is a people who do not travel in a strange way in this world. They are following the footsteps directly after him who descended first into the lower parts of the earth. But the apostle says, he that descended is the same also that ascended. And those that descend after him will also surely ascend after him. The spoils that victor has received. Who are they for? They are for a people who are in the midst of that warfare and who are not able to deliver themselves from that enemy of sin. Oh, the Lord give you to experience his nearness, because he is so close. He is everywhere and so near to that people. With what? With his gift, and congregation especially, that gift of grace. Free and sovereign grace that he is now filling that whole world with, and fulfilling the desire of his Father that he may bring his chosen back unto himself. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art sitting on high, hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place. Give us to know from what we need to be delivered, that we may cry to thee, and that thou mayest hear from that place where thou hast power. Or that thou may look on young and old together and bring us to know that need. Or that we may descend a little bit. We cannot go ever to the bottom of it. But wilt thou give us to know a little bit of it? And because without it, we shall never cry, hear us, O God of the heavens and of the earth, dismiss us with thy blessing. And wilt thou keep us in this night and in the days to come, and give thy blessing upon all the work of our hands, meditation upon thy word of truth, desire to come up again upon thy holy day, help to all that do the official work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is 295, stanzas 1 through 4. They that traffic on the sea, while unceasing watch they keep, see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep. For he bids the storm wind fly, lifting ocean's waves on high. 1 through 4 of 295. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.